Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, Caught in the Crossroads of Conflict. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
Jonathan was a very, very, very different kind of man. He is the heir apparent to his father's throne. In other words, he is next. It's his turn. He's up for promotion. And he's next in... When he meets David, and when he meets the man whose very presence on the scene threatens his next level and threatens his promotion and threatens his position, rather than hate him, he is happy for him, for real. For real. I mean, the genuine love that he has for David, knowing that's really his throne and that's really his palace. And this is really his kingdom. But here comes this man who knows nothing about protocol. He doesn't look like a king. He doesn't, nothing about. But he's so happy for him. He is so happy for David that it infuriates his father. Boy, what is wrong with you? Are you so stupid that you can't even see what's happening here? Do you not understand that this boy is about to step on a stage that has been declared yours? He's about to be presented a present that really should be presented for you, but now you're going to sit there and help him rip off the wrapping. You're about to give David a dynasty that was meant for you. Have you lost your mind? Your kingdom will never be established as long as this boy's feet is in the earth. He's the son of Jesse. Go find him and bring him to me, because I'm going to kill him. He is so angry with his son that he picks his son and says, but Dad, look, what has he ever done to you? What's going on? He's so angry that he picks up his spear and he throws it at his own son. Watch out for people who incite you to riot. Say nothing else. I said a mouthful right there today. They sow seeds of discord in you. They inject you with infectious thoughts. Thoughts that out of nowhere start disrupting your peace. And thoughts that out of nowhere start confronting your contentment. And they sow aggravating accusations into your life. And next thing you know, you find yourself frustrated in places that up until now you were content to be in. You didn't have no problem just being that. You had no problem just being part of the choir. People will incite you to riot, and it never fazed you before they sowed those seeds of discontentment in your life, and now you find yourself frustrated about things that never bothered you before. Child, I can't believe they done gave that promotion to that girl as long as you've been working in this place. I wouldn't put up with it. I'm going to tell you right now, I would get in there and say something right now. Next thing you know, they got you acting a fool and about to lose your job because they are inciting you to ride. I wouldn't let that man do me like that. I would put him and his stuff out in the street. I would not take that for a minute. No, I guess you wouldn't. You ain't had a man in your life in 25 freaking years. Tell your neighbor, watch out for them, watch out for them, watch out for them. Be careful who you allow to counsel you. Be careful whose advice you take. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Saul is so upset that he's throwing an arrow at his own son. He has targeted his own flesh and blood. He is piercing his own baby boy. He is throwing arrows at somebody he loves. But I bet you the thing that hurt him more than the arrow was the fact that the arrow came from the hands of his very own daddy. Because you ain't been hit, honey, until your daddy hits you. ain't been shot at until somebody you love takes a shot at you. Saul said, How can I be so strong, rule this kingdom, sit on this throne, and produce somebody as weak as you, boy? You ain't got enough sense to understand. This man is after your job. Saul's perception is so off that he sees Jonathan's character and he sees Jonathan's contentment and he sees Jonathan's kind-heartedness as weakness. That's because his perception is off. Because in all actuality, it was the strongest strength. It was the strongest display of strength that Saul probably had ever seen in his life. And it certainly was stronger than anything he would ever be able to emulate himself. Because Jonathan was just different. Jonathan was cut from a different cloth. Jonathan was a rare breed. Jonathan was somebody that was totally, completely unselfish. And one of the great things he's got going for him is that when he got his daddy's DNA, he didn't get his daddy's nasty attitude in that DNA. He didn't get that bitterness that came through that DNA. He is a great man. Jonathan is I came to set the record straight. Jonathan is a great man. He is my hero. He's a wonderful man. But his biggest problem in life right at this particular moment is he's just trying to find a way to have a relationship with his dad and his best friend because he loved them both. When he first met David, David was a mess. David was stunk like sheep. He was pitiful. But Jonathan was able to look beyond the outer appearance and said, "Ooh, up underneath all that mess is a man of God. Up underneath all that stink is a real shepherd. Up underneath all of that is somebody who has there's an anointing on that boy's life. I don't really know him, but I know that there's something about him that's different. There is a touch of God that is on his life." And so immediately he starts helping him and he starts equipping him and he starts giving things to him. He starts grooming him for the greatness that is set before him. He turned around and said, "You can't go in the palace looking like that. Come here, let me give you some of my clothes. You about wear the same size I wear." So he starts pulling clothes out of his closet and he clothes him all up nice and he gives him his armor. He gives him his weapons. He starts helping him, giving him insight on how to act in the palace. "You don't eat with that fork, David. Pick up the other fork." He's helping him the best that he can because somehow, some strange kind of way, he knows that his destiny is tied up in this boy whose name is David. Somehow he knows that helping David was helping him himself. Somehow he knows that if I can push you, David, what I'm really doing is I'm really pushing myself. He recognized the anointing on David. He recognized the touch of the Most High that was on his life. And some way, somehow, he felt like helping David was helping God. And while he was helping David, and while he was helping God, and while he was doing a good work, his own daddy shot at him. Have you ever been shot down while you're trying to build somebody else up? Jonathan says, "Dad, hold up. What's up? What's up here? Okay, you're my dad. You taught me everything I know about being a man. Okay? You taught me everything I know, period. You taught me how to fight. You taught me how to survive. You taught me how to sharpen my weapons. You even taught me how to take a lick and keep on taking. You taught me how to get back up, dust the dirt off of me, having done all this time. You taught me how to stand. Dad, hey, please hold up. Don't shoot another thing at me, okay? I mean, we've laughed together. We've walked together. We've talked together. I mean, we practice shooting our arrows together. I never thought that you would shoot it at me. I mean, Dad, I think my hero, man. You're the coolest thing that ever happened to me. You protected me. You watched over me. You put food on my table. You provided for me. You put a roof over my head. You have been everything to me because you are my dad. And you will always be my dad. And absolutely nothing, not David, not anybody else, will ever change the fact that you are my dad. But I gotta tell you, I'm really confused right now. I'm almost disillusioned right now because the shot that you just took at me has left me a little bewildered right now, because even though I love you right now, I do not understand you right now. What do you do when you love somebody that you don't like? What do you do when you love who they are, but you hate what they do? Jonathan is wrestling with emotions that he never thought he would wrestle with. Feelings he never thought he would feel. Thoughts he never thought he would think. Fighting with emotions that were totally up until this point unexperienced in his life. He loves his dad, but every time he reaches out to embrace what he loves, he is pierced by what he hates. It is sad when you try to hug what you love only to be pierced by what you hate. Nothing leaves you more confused than loving what you hate and hating what you love. He is caught in the crossfire of conflict. Daddy represents where he came from. David represents where he's going. Torn between the old and the new. Torn between his tradition and his revelation. Torn between where God was and where God is. What is a man to do? Should I just put my anchor down and just stop right here where God was? Or should I pack up my tent and move everything over to where God is? See, Jonathan represents a call from God to leave your country and your kindred and your comfort and your contentment in order that you might stop being who you were and start becoming who you are supposed to be. He said, I love you, Dad, and I will always love you, but there is something about that man that I cannot ignore. I cannot just disregard it, and I can't blow it away. There is an anointing of Jehovah that is on his life. When he talks, I hear God. I hear purpose. When he opens his mouth, I hear destiny. I see vision. I feel hope. I feel life. Life that I have not felt in years. I feel it when he talks to me. My soul is knit to him. And I need a connection like this, Dad. God, help me. How do I connect with my destiny and not become my father's enemy? God has brought him into my life. He has joined us together. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Why are you trying to tear me from what God has purposed me in? Why are you trying to take me away from what God has intended for my life? How dare you try to separate me from what God has joined me to? And some of you, God is laboring with you to take you into a new dimension, but you got an old fleshly, carnal, manipulating soul somewhere in your life, trying to hold you back, trying to keep you from connecting with the purpose of God for your life. And what you need to do is rise up and disconnect yourself from every soul spirit that is in your life that would cause you to be left cursed with the same curse days are numbered. He is on his way to hell. He is on his way down. He has lost his anointing. He has lost his position. He has lost his power. He has lost his purpose. And he's going to hell in a handbasket. And if you're not careful, you are going to go to hell with him. And because Jonathan did not have the guts to stand up and face his father, because he didn't have the guts to disconnect himself from the curse that was in his family, because he didn't have the guts to disconnect himself from somebody that had nothing to do with his destiny and join himself with somebody that had everything to do with his destiny, he died where his daddy died. I am angry with him today. He died like a fool. He died in Gilboa because he was shot at by an enemy. That was his father's enemy. The sad thing about the whole scenario is that he died and he didn't have to die. He died. He didn't die because he wasn't anointed. No, he didn't die because he didn't have a purpose. He died because he was more committed to his history than he was to his destiny. Died because he was more committed to his religious tradition than he was to the divine revelation that went off inside of him when he hooked up with David. He died because he made a foolish decision to join him, stay joined with his father instead of joining with David. At the crossroads of conflict, he chose to stay in a family, in a church where he was culturally comfortable. Leadership that looks like me, that acts like me, that sings the songs I like, has the kind of rhythm that I like, that does everything like I like. Chose to stay where he was culturally comfortable rather than to be stretched, and rather than to be challenged, and rather than to be positioned to move into a place where he could maximize his God-given potential. Jonathan made a destiny decision that ultimately cost him his life. Never underestimate the power of your life's decisions. Because sooner or later, we will all be caught in the crossroads of conflict. And the decision you make at the crossroads of conflict will determine whether you live or die. Tell your neighbor on both sides, don't die over a bad decision. He is so angry with his father that he has to leave the table. The next day, he goes out into the woods and he starts shooting arrows out there, trying to find David, giving David a heads up. He finally connects with him and says, David, look, don't even try to come back because my daddy's going to kill you. And I'm real sorry. That ain't the daddy I know. I don't know what's going on. But I'm so sorry, David. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know why he's acting like he's acting. I don't know what he's dealing with. I don't know, but it's don't ever think for 1 minute that's your fault. It's not your fault, David. You know, you didn't do what I do. You didn't do anything wrong, David. But I am telling you that when he threw that arrow at me, I knew he was serious about killing you. You need to get up out of here, David. Get out of here because your life is in danger. And I want to change things, and I've tried to change things, and I wish I could change things, but I can't change anything. And the Bible said in the life application, said, David bowed down to Jonathan with his hands and his face to the ground. Both of them were in tears. and they embraced one another and they said goodbye, especially David. David was overwhelmed. At last, Jonathan said to David, "Look, man, go in peace. Because we've made a pact in the Lord's name. We will have entrusted each other and each other's children into the hands of the Lord forever." So then David left and Jonathan returned back to the city. It was the saddest moment in their relationship. And the reason I say it was the saddest is because Jonathan was saying, "David, man, I love you enough to protect you from him, but I don't love you enough to let go of him." And so he kissed him goodbye. And the kiss that they shared in the field would be the kiss of death. While standing at the crossroads of conflict, he failed the test because he couldn't get the courage to disconnect himself from his daddy's destructive ways and march on into destiny with David. It's one thing to die. It's one thing to die because you don't know who David is. Saul didn't understand the extent of David's destiny. But just because he didn't, had nothing to do with Jonathan. Jonathan knew he was the king. Jonathan knew he was the anointed man of God. Jonathan knew David. David was the man. He knew David was the man before he ever knew that about himself. But knowing what is right and doing what is right is two different things. You'd be amazed to know how many people are in this church today that know the word, but they can't do the word. They can quote it, but they cannot live it, because it's a whole lot easier to quote it than it is to live it. What are you talking about, Pastor? I am talking about that people that are here today, they love God enough to go to church. They love him enough to praise. They love him enough to worship. They love him enough to meet and greet. They love him enough to sing and shout. They love him enough to even pay their tithe and give a Gideon offering every now and then, but they don't love him enough to do any changing or any attaching themselves or any disconnecting themselves. They love him enough to embrace him for all that he has for them, but they don't love him enough to embrace him for who he is. And they spend all of their life trying to figure out, how can I have all of him and only give him part of me? Jonathan kissed David goodbye, and he died. He went out into this battlefield with his daddy, and he caught what was meant for his daddy. And he died short of his destiny, short of his purpose, short of his future, short of his life. He died before his daddy even died. If he would have only stayed, if he would have only stayed where he was, if he would have only stayed next to David, if he would have only stayed next to the one that had the power to connect him to his purpose, he would have never been shot, and he would have never bled to death laying in the valley of Gilboa. That is, that right there, that story I just told you, that is what did happen. But let me tell you what should have happened. What should have happened is he should have broken his allegiance to Saul, pledged his allegiance to David. And if he'd have done that, he'd have spent the rest of his life enjoying palace privileges without the headache of palace responsibilities. Why? Because the blessing that was on David, when you get hooked up with somebody that God has hooked up, you are hooked up for life if you'll keep your head on straight. David was a blessed man. I'm telling you, everybody that got near David got blessed. Everybody that was connected to David got blessed. David was a blessed man. He had issues, but he was still blessed. He was blessed in spite of his issues. He had weaknesses, but he was still blessed in spite of his weaknesses. Jonathan messed up the day that he walked away from his place of blessing. Whatever you do, stay connected to David and stay in your place of blessing. He missed it because he was too loyal to a man that was trapped in tradition. His commitment to that man was stronger than his commitment to his place in the kingdom. His own crippled son got to enjoy Mephibosheth. He got to enjoy the things that Jonathan really should have enjoyed. He could have lived up in that palace. He could have had servants. He could have had butlers. He could have had everything. And could go to bed at night and not worry about a thing. But he made a wrong decision. So he died. Not from a bow, not from an arrow, not from a spear, not from being pierced by the weapon in the hand of an enemy that came right at him. You know what he died from? He died from a bad decision that was made at the crossroads of conflict. So today, I'm a pastor, but I'm really more than a pastor. I'm a FedEx man today. Because, let me tell you what a FedEx man does. He picks up a package that is for you. And he brings it to where you are. Gives it to you without ever knowing what it really means to you. So today, I don't know what this message has meant. I don't know what it means to you. I don't know what it means to anybody in here. I don't know who your David is. I don't know who your Saul is. I don't have a clue. But I do know that God wants me to tell you to make sure that you make the right choice when you're at the crossroads of a conflict. Make sure that you stay connected to the anointing. Not what was, but what is. Whether you like it or not, nudge somebody, tell them I'm staying connected. Whether you understand it or not, tell them I'm staying connected. Whether you feel like it or don't feel like it, whether it makes sense to you or it don't make sense to you, I am staying connected. Whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, whether it confuses me, whether it challenges me.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, Caught in the Crossroads of Conflict, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com. Or call 888-CHERYL-8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady.